Tony Nansen is always right.
Hello and welcome to the My Middle Name is Trevor podcast. We've missed a lot of stuff over the last couple of weeks because we've been away. So this session will run for over an hour. Really sorry, okay? You also have a Spotify playlist, the My Middle Name is Trevor playlist. So head that way, get involved. Some good stuff on there. Some stuff you might like, some stuff you won't. But just get involved. Right, let's go. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, Tony.
Howdy.
This is the My Middle Name is Trevor podcast. Myself, Tony Nanton, and Mr. Nathan Swift, and obviously Mr. Adrian Prescott. We're three Oxford DJs, and we've got a lot to go through today. We've had some scheduling issues. We've had some recording issues, which were probably all my fault, so we've missed a couple of weeks.
Basically, we've had some technical hiccups that Adrian and I have absolutely nothing to do with.
Correct.
So we've sat here for the last 2 weeks going, all our hard effort gone to nothing because
correct.
Tony's... he can't press the right button.
Correct.
It's pretty much something like that. I've had my faith in this app and the app kind of let me down. But
don't bore him with technicality.
So in between times, you've missed a really good, you people have missed a really good session we had recently, which was completely marred by a bad recording. And we covered some really good stuff, including Stevie Wonder, our favourite Stevie Wonder songs we quickly went through. Now, if I remember quickly, mine was That Girl off Music Aquarium. Now, Specs came out of a killer. Specs, what was your favourite Stevie Wonder tune again?
Ribbon in the Sky.
Oh, yeah, Ribbon in the Sky.
Good choice.
And then Nathan completely kind of baffled us with so many great choices. So, What was yours again, Nathan?
My first one was Master Blaster, wasn't it?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then what else did I throw in as well? There was a few. I can't even remember now. There was that many.
Call to Say You Love You, I think, was your favourite.
Absolutely. That was the... No. You're mistaken. That was the one you said you listened to the most when thinking of your wife.
Oh, yeah, right, whatever.
Or was it somebody else's wife? I can't remember.
My word.
Boy's trying to get me shot.
You started that. Listen, if you're not prepared to walk down that street, don't step onto it.
Wow.
So, what was it then? What was your favourite Stevie Wonder?
I know. I think that was it. It was Master Blaster. I mean, I said Superstition was was an obvious one. Signed, Sealed, and Delivered. I really like as well. I can't think.
I think it was Called to Say I Love You. I think it was. You know what I mean? So it was. But the fact of the matter is...
There with Lady in Red.
Yeah, Nathan, he's telling you what your favourite Stevie Wonder track is. Yeah, that makes sense.
But you know what? But that's because he's always right, Spence.
It's true.
That's... Wow. Sometimes.
You know, we just give him a soundbite there, don't you?
No, I'm not going to go
that far. I can do you a proper one if you like. Tony Nansen is always right.
Thank you. I'm keeping that.
In Tony's world.
We also discussed more music. I went kind of crazy about an unreleased single from, gosh, I forgot her name now.
Emily Sande,
yes. Heaven, but this is More Than You. I won't go into it again. I'll wait till it comes out. Great single. It's going to be single of the year easily. It's surprising that it came from her. I won't go into that. We'll go through a bit of new music in a minute. I did, though, have a big paddy about the recent Lady Gaga single, and now there's an album, which is also equally appalling, with no good tracks on it at all. I was bitterly disappointed. So, yeah, we kind of skipped over that. We talked about TV. We talked massively about The Last Dance. Can we quickly go for that again, or shall we let it go?
It's amazing. The end.
The greatest television documentary I have ever watched in my entire life.
Wow.
You know what? I actually second that now. You nailed it there, sir.
I'll say it was very good. I loved it. One thing I did, I think you have to add, is it will definitely give you an opinion on Michael Jordan as a sportsman, but maybe not as a sportsman. You know, he's brilliant, but as a human being, there was some weirdness in that show, some weirdness. But it was great to see Scottie Pippen, who I knew a little bit about, and then seeing this guy was, you know, should have been a much bigger name than he kind of is. And of course, Dennis Rodman, who I've always loved. And we got a few sneaky looks, Carmen Electra, which is always a good thing. So as a sports program, it was fantastic. Wow. Oh, mate. But that then led me to something I saw last night. And I don't know if you guys Have you heard this in the show called Dave?
Yes.
About, oh my God.
With Little Dicky.
How did I miss
it's
this?
Little Dicky, isn't it?
Yeah. What's this about? Explain to me.
Basically, do you know what? I mentioned this in the last cast. But anyway, it's he's a comedian and obviously a rapper. So the setting is he's just trying to be the next best thing. And his gimmickal raps, what's blowing up and going viral on this show, is about his small genitalia.
That's why it's called. Okay, I get it now. I only saw
hence why now
last
his
night.
Parody name is Little Dicky. Little Dicky. It's just different parts of him, like his best mate who worked in stocks, left his job to become his manager and loads of other stuff.
Yeah.
And just there's loads of cameos from like loads of relevant rappers at this point. Like, it's a good show. The humor's mad. It's mad left, but I found it funny as hell, to be fair.
Nathan, so I see this thing last night. I'm watching TV and you go for the TV guide on your TV. And I kept seeing this thing, Dave. And I thought it's Dave the channel. So I get all confused, right? So I'm reading the bylines for the story. I'm like, what is this thing? And I was like, right, before I get to bed, it starts off, this dude, he's just like a white Jewish guy. I can't really make a description, really. And he's got a beard. And he's doing like trap rap, but good, really good. And the whole opening 8 minutes were characters in a prison because he'd gone to prison.
Back to front.
Yeah, mate, he'd gone to prison. What did he do? He got his nuts out on live on stage. He got arrested and got 2 years. And then he's in prison and he's about to get prison rate.
Let me make it clear. That's the last one. So basically he gets signed to a label and they ask for his next single. So he plays them the next single. So what you're speaking about
is a single.
Basically,
he's showing. I won't go into any further, Nathan, but honestly,
well,
if you get
don't
a chance
need
to watch...
because in all fairness, between the pair of you, none of us now need to watch it.
Yeah, sorry, that wasn't
but no,
supposed to happen.
Honestly, you have to see this 8 minute rap sequence is TV genius.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, I was sat there with my wife who would never watch a show like this, and she would not move. She's just looking at me, I'm looking at her, and we're like, what?
Yeah, because you're like, where's it gonna go next? What else is he getting to? And you never get to the end.
It's just incredible. Absolutely crazy. So, yeah, Dave, I think it's on BBC Two last night, but yeah, it's called Dave.
It's all available on iPlayer.
BBC,
so you can watch
iPlayer, BBC iPlayer. Yes, it is. Yeah, very good indeed. Oh, that's good. Another little callback we missed out on. I want to get it in. A couple of weeks back, it was Versus TV on Instagram. It was just a dancehall special. Beanie Man versus Bounty Killer. Got so many views. It was brilliant. If you get a chance, please watch it. This was
one of my favourite moments of last week's Never To Be Heard podcast, where you both sat and talked about this like I'd be completely clueless and then tried to break it down like I was a four-year-old. And I believe I cut you off after 30 seconds by going, yeah, I watched it.
Yeah, but do you know why we've done that? We have to explain it, because when you said, yeah, I watched it, you then said, 98% of it, I couldn't even understand.
Yeah, no, there was that. I didn't turn around and profess to be an expert on the subject afterwards, but at least I made the effort.
Do you know, all I can say, anybody listening to this, if you get a chance, you can watch it on YouTube. It's Versus, as in V-E-R-Z-U-S TV. It's on YouTube as well now. And it was just Beanie Man and Bounty Killer and some DJs behind them. Nobody cared about social distancing. They just went hell for leather, and it is just an hour and 10 minutes of just utter joy. Even if you're not into dancehall, you will have a good laugh, and it just makes you smile. And sometimes in times like this, I wish it had been on last weekend. It really would have been so nice to have it on last weekend. It really would have.
Can I just also clear up as well that when Tony does refer to anybody that's listening to this, he is in fact, of course, referring to you.
To you.
Because yes. You are listening to this.
Yes.
But he gets a bit carried away, thinks he's on a soapbox.
Did you see this Lana Del Rey post she put on her Instagram where I think she's lost her mind. She's basically had a go at all the top female artists in the States. Most of them, we use the term black or urban. There were some others as well. She had to go at Ariana. But she's just basically gone, it's not fair. Why are they selling more records than me? this is unfair, something's wrong with the system, blah, 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 and got into this massive...
Oh, I'm
like, first of all, because they didn't have rats like her, that's what.
Nathan, please tell me.
Rubbish.
Thank you, Lara. Thank you, Nathan. That's exactly what people were saying. You had a load of people kind of agreeing her, saying, oh, yes, all those artists are rubbish. And I'm thinking, when was the last time Lana Del Rey actually made something that was any good? You get all these
video
remixes.
Games.
Oh, God. It's just dire. And I just thought, it's not our fault that we don't like your music. You've got your fans. And then the same week was the new Fiona Apple album. And Fiona Apple was another one. I'm like, how do these people get an advance? Who is paying these people to make this music?
Is how much that advance is, and the world's changed, and the advance now is about £47.30.
You know what? That's so true, isn't it? That's so true. On another podcast, they were discussing the old garage days, and the talk was a garage single, was getting an advance of £250,000 for a single.
And you look at the quality of like the videos and stuff. If you weren't solid, you were producing crap.
But the videos were crazy. They were mad, you know. So if you got an advance of £250,000, you have to be in an absolute, you know, you've got to be. The record company must be your god.
I don't think you'd get that anymore, though. That's
no,
the problem.
The
music industry has changed, which is why there's now this element of bland across the lot of it, because people aren't fighting for that. Because it's so easy now to make a track, whack it out on YouTube, try and get it, you know, some followers, and then build up traction that way. And because there's not the return on the singles now because of the streaming facilities and the downloads, it's not making the money. People aren't getting that release. I mean, it's probably really uncommon for anybody to get signed and get some form of big payment in return for them giving their commitment, because it's so easy not to.
No, I totally agree, mate. I think the industry's gone. Money's in publishing now, isn't it? I always say to people when they're putting a track out, get your publishing sorted first. Get that sorted, because you'll make your money back on your streaming and stuff and other areas. And then whatever revenue you get elsewhere is what you get, you know, which leads to new music. Now, I know you guys, kind of struggled this week. Nathan, what was that track again? You saw me that reggae track I was listening to.
I got introduced to Alpha Blondy, and the track's called I Wish You Were Here. And it's basically a reggae version of Pink Floyd. Now, Alpha Blondy, if you're a reggae fan, you'll be well aware of, because he's done some great tracks. He's only a little fella. He's proper impressive. So I sent that to Tony thinking, oh, you know, you'll be impressed. I found something that wasn't ever on my spectrum, and I really, really enjoyed it. And then you returned to me by going, you need to listen to the Easy Star All-Stars. So I've then gone, and I've done yesterday, sat at work in the afternoon doing all my admin in the office, and I did their Beatles album, I did some of their Pink Floyd album, I did a load of their Michael Jackson tracks, and I even dipped into a couple of the Radio Dread bits as well, which is obviously Radiohead. And they were awesome. Who's ringing?
I think that's Adrian. Adrian's ringing like he's got agent. Please.
Hang on, is that the Easy Star All-Stars calling to go?
It was actually my accountant.
Was it?
Yeah.
What's he saying? Why haven't you given me any money for months?
He's like, why aren't you making it?
Doesn't work. That's
why. Why aren't you making it?
Have you sorted your publishing out yet? Have you sorted your publishing out yet?
Is this the cast while we speak?
is Tony paying you for that podcast yet? Oh, come on, we've got to start putting some money through.
I'm really glad you like the Easy All Stars. They're brilliant. I mean, they're just a bunch of session musicians who love what they do. That Beatles album, I love. I've got a quick mention here, but on that album is a version of Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, sung by...
That's the one I started with, because I knew you were keen on it. Oh, it's brilliant.
You know, we a little story with that. A couple of years ago, longer than that, say 5-6 years ago, me and Roy, Master Barber from Oxford, we were doing these little reggae nights at a certain venue, and we decided to go for this 70s reggae guy who very much let us down, like within 48 hours of the gig, he was telling us, don't know if I can make it because I haven't got enough petrol in my car. And we were like, you know what? I've got a feeling. Seriously, that's exactly what happened. We're like, got a feeling this isn't going to happen, and we're not going to make any money on Saturday, and it's going to be awful. So I rang an agent friend of mine and I said, look, I need a singer for Saturday. I need him like tomorrow. And he's gone, I ain't got nobody. Well, I've got Frankie Paul.
I remembered it.
I was like, you've got Frankie Paul. Now, for anybody who doesn't know reggae that much, Frankie Paul is one of the greatest reggae singers like ever. And when I say ever, we're talking like what Duran Duran are to pop is what Frankie Paul is to reggae. Okay. So I then say, well, I've only got 300 quid. So we didn't have much anyway. We hadn't had any money. We made this deal, which was still incredible. And then 2 days later, on the stage of this venue, with only about 60 people in there, was the God, the blind God, that is Frankie Paul. And he was meant to do a 20-minute set. He did 45. We had to drag him off the stage. I was actually crying.
It's a bit arse, dragging a blind man. What animal are you?
He was meant to be going to another gig, but he was loving it so much. He was loving the adulation. And I was crying. Roy Mermier, but I know he was crying. Lots of people were crying in that room. And I, even talking about it now is making me well up, because it was like possibly the proudest of all my things I've ever done. Second proudest. Felix Dexter is my one. But yeah, Frankie Paul there. But the funny thing is, we did this gig and we barely made any money, but we were just glad we did it because we brought Frankie Paul to Oxford.
Yeah, sometimes it's not all about money, is it?
But the funny thing was, it was the months and weeks after with people saying, yeah, I was there at Frankie Paul. It was wicked. We hadn't even had any footage. We didn't have any video footage. We just didn't do that. Cameras just weren't that good on phones then. And me and Roy are giving it, all these people who claim they were there.
Where were they?
Because if that was the case, we'd have had like 500 people in there, not the actual 60, 70. But no, hearing him on that song, that, and that version of Loosen the Sky Diamonds is just incredible.
I'd advise you to listen to that. I'm sure the song will come out again at some point over the course of the next 3 months. If it does, and you're in your garden, and maybe you're having a little rum, or you're going to have a beer, or you're having a barbecue, and you want a soundtrack to it, whack on the Easy Star All-Stars, whack on their Beatle album, their Michael Jackson album, and just enjoy what they've done to already brilliant songs, and they put their own twist on it, and it is just a lovely listen.
Nah, it is. Thank you. I'm glad you got into that. So nice. And then, Specs, you got me into something where I didn't really kind of appreciate it at first, but then I fought hard and I just let it go. And that was the new Wiley album, Police Digress.
You know what? You probably listened to more of it than me. This is how much Wiley is. Wiley's literally that guy. You put it out there and you're like, meh. And then you're like, yeah, I'm not in it. So you probably listened to more of it than me. I listened to about half of it. And I was like, you know what? I do like this. But at the same time, I was like, I'm not really in the mood for this right now. And I never got back to it.
Do you know what? I think my issue with it, and it still is an issue with it, it's a great Wiley album. No, correction. It's a good Wiley album. Wiley's gone back to his esky roots.
What a noise he's been making. Yeah. He has to, because when you go back, when he goes back there, because he is the pioneer of that sound, nobody can say nothing about it. So it'd be weird for him to go somewhere else.
Yeah. I was waiting for a bit of Latin here or a bit of that, but after all the stuff he said about Storms and everybody else, he'd been like, you know what, if you get this wrong, son, Just stay safe.
This is why he didn't drop it. He made this massive thing tail end of last year where he's like, January the 1st, every independent grime artist, if you're really on this thing, release your album on that day. Because he made this massive thing saying that he was going to do it. January the 1st come, no Wiley album. So he was probably sitting on it and realised, you know what, this isn't it. And when he dropped it, it was almost like, yeah, just put it out. There was no campaign, no nothing. His head's so gone, he could do stuff like that and get traction. Now, the amount he trolls on social media, he can now put his album out with just a link or whatever, and people would just gravitate towards it. I don't know if it's genius or the fact that he's just so worthless. I don't know what it is. But either way, it works for him.
There's new Jesse Ware due, which I thought was coming last week. Didn't happen, so I think it's the end of next week. So we'll talk about that soon.
There's a new Neo tune I love Jesse. I like as well. Neo and Jeremiah. You to Love.
Ooh.
It samples the Computer Love rhythm. Yeah.
I have heard. That's wicked.
Yeah. But I love that. Yeah. I love Neo. You know what? I didn't think I was really a Neo fan. And when I hear him on actual kind of like that hip-hop R&B kind of fusion, he sits on it very well. He done better than Jeremiah on it, in my opinion. But I think the tune's very nice. Very, very
nice. Okay. One tune I know you're going to love, I think, Nathan, if you can find it. New Two Door Cinema Club, Tiptoes. Okay. Very much a kind of sign, but it's just great. I love Two Door Cinema Club. But that bouncy kind of guitar indie sound, but it's always a bit glossy. Sounds like a lot of other stuff, but it's just great. It's just, again, right time of year. Hear it out. Make it dance around. Yeah, what else can you ask for?
Are you saying that I won't like the Neo track?
No, I'm saying you probably will, but it's a bit slow. But I know you like a bit of jump.
I like a little bit of a slow jam.
Oh, a bit of a slow jam, mate. Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right. Hello. Hello.
Normally on my own, obviously. Anyway.
And finally, my another one of my faves this week was, I keep on about it, Babyface is back. He's back as a guest on the new Lucky Day single. Lucky Day is this incredible soul R&B singer who last year did really well, but didn't actually smash the door down. So I wasn't expecting a new single. Saw something on a website, went looking for it. It came out on New Music Friday on Spotify, and I think the release is on Apple Music. Put it on for, oh, please don't let me down. And it was lovely. Absolutely lovely. And Babyface was just Babyface, really. So, you know, if you like a bit of loveliness, yeah, Lucky Day, which Lucky Day and Daye, featuring Babyface, and it's called Shudder. So that was our new music this week. Because a lot of things have happened over the last week or so. And this leads us to a conversation that veers massively against all the joy we've had the last 20 minutes or so, which is the mayhem that is happening in kind of semi-lockdown UK. Thanks, Dominic. Hashtag thanks, Dominic. Can anybody explain to me what's happening on social media the last 2 days?
Do you know, I actually took a break from social media last week.
What I find last week, a lot of people did take a break from it. And I just find it weird that a lot of people took a break from it at the same time.
Can I interject and remind you of some conversation we had? And I'm not having a go at either you two, but this is a point I was trying to make about my struggle with Facebook. And the weird thing is, whereas you two guys have kind of had this little break, I've like kind of gone, hey,
Nathan said he took a break. I then said, it's funny how people's taking a break. I'm still on there loud and proud.
No,
don't ever get me twisted.
Oh, no, you are. and I'm not, as I said, not having a pop. What I kind of did, because obviously I want to push a podcast and kind of let people know, look, we've had this techie break. I carried out, as you guys have said, as I've told you before, I switched off my notifications, which is just bliss. It's absolute bliss. Just drop in when you like. Check the notifications you want to see. They're highlighted in blue. I don't want to see that rubbish there, so I'll leave that there. Thanks. Delete it, actually. I've taken like 500 people plus off my Facebook now. Lots of it, as I said before, was for reasons such as death and stuff like that. And then just people I didn't interject with anymore. And then certain stuff started being posted over the last 3 to 4 days. I'm not against free speech. I am, though, against hatred. And that's what I'm starting to see. So I'm not going to name names. I've had people since who've tried to add me back and gone, have you unfriended me? And just makes me giggle. You know, have you unfriended me? Like a 5-year-old. And I've gone, yeah, I did. It's not called unfriending. I call it deletion. I'll see you in the pub sometime in the future. Might even buy a drink. But I don't want to read your drivel and your basic hatred on my social media. I don't enjoy that anymore. If I've got to go on it, I don't want to see that nonsense. Everybody's entitled to opinion. If it's balanced, fine. But if you're going to just write basically pretty awful stuff and then go on the attack with no basis, I don't want to read it. I really don't. Not really interested. I feel for you two guys, because you've got, you know, a whole heap of people on your Facebooks, and I can't imagine having to deal with 3,500
people. I think it's just one of those ones, like, how you deal with it. And I've said this before. Yeah, we've discussed, like, even the people that I have on Facebook just alone, I know a lot of it is nonsense. A lot of it is old stuff that I really need to clear out and whatever. But it's just one of those ones. With me, when I go on there, you scroll through, I do what I need to do, and I'm back out, to be fair. I don't really kind of loiter around in it. But some of the stuff that I have embarked upon, I've kind of been at a crossroads, and I'm like, you know what, do they get cussed out? Do I like cuss out their nation, or do I just leave it alone? And I have to leave it alone, because the problem with being on social media, like you said, anyone's free to say what they got to say. So people just talk nonsense for the sake of it, just to kind of press your buttons or wind you up, or just to get the last word in, so they don't look like they've just been buoyed off on their own social media. Like, it's so many reasons why people just act so lame on social media. It's unbelievable.
Okay, I'm gonna I'm gonna interject here, Nathan. If you want to join at some point, that's fine. I'm not gonna dig anybody out. I just want to kind of have a bit of a monologue, really, because I'm 53. I've been around, lived a life, you know. I was lucky. I'm 53 years old. I have a wife who was a white wife. I have two mixed children. I'm starting to realize now that the term mixed race is quite odd, because realistically, as the wonderful Jane Elliott has said on many an occasion, there is only one race, the human race. We just happen to have various communities that have different shades of melanin in their skin.
Jane Elliott, mate. 100%.
Jane Elliott is the... If you please, people, get a chance. Just type in Jane Elliott.
Yeah, whatever video comes up, just watch it. No specific one.
Yeah, and just... She is just incredible. She's...
Can I say that my wife introduced me to Jane Elliott and said, read some of this, because it is so eloquently put.
Yeah, she is just phenomenal. And I won't go into any further. I want people to find out about her. But I've taken some notes, and you guys know I'm late for notes, because I had to kind of put some order into what I wanted to say. Otherwise, I would, you know, as I'm like, I'll just go into some preamble. So the point is, I'm not going to be a spokesperson for black people or anybody, actually. This is just my own personal opinion. This is not an opinion of, quote, the podcast, but, you know, the My Middle Name is Trevor podcast says this. This is Tony Nanton's opinion on a quite harrowing situation. And I think people need to realize we've spent 11, 12 weeks basically being told what to do because of a virus we are told is infected X amount of people. I think there are going to be lots of questions in the future about the virus. The Italians and the German scientists are already saying some stuff.
There was always
quite interesting.
Nothing new.
Yeah. Yeah. So the figures and stuff, but people have died.
Of course.
So let's not be disrespectful of that. And families have suffered in different ways. You know, imagine having a member of your family put into a carrier bag and you're told there's going to be an autopsy. I can't think of anything, you know, more kind of brutal an end to life. So we've had to go for this. And I think with the way the media are getting a lot of blame, the media are just doing a job. The media will always do a job. It's up to people now with technology to find out information, I believe, to a certain degree. People will use the media for their own kind of agenda. So it'll be, I hate the BBC. They're just telling lies. They don't help us. And then the following day, oh, did you see that thing on the BBC? Oh, my God, we need to do something about it. Hang on, you were saying yesterday. So the BBC,
this is why these people who kind of like make a lot of noise, you have to take it with a pinch of salt. You have to.
Well, yeah, so that kind of, as I said, leads me to the point that I'm kind of lucky. You know, I was born 67. I 5 years old, I started getting into music. I was, you know, that black kid who was into, I was a kid who was into Bowie, T-Rex. I was into all that kind of stuff, glam rock in the 60s, 70s. I caught the tail end of the 60s. My mum would let me listen to church records and stuff, and her little bit of soca. My dad liked his bit of Trinidad soca and stuff. I went to a three-tier school system. This is all before social media, before we had any of this nonsense, you know. And, you know, we had no lessons. Humanities didn't tell you about racism and stuff like that. You know, you went to school and you kind of found out that some people might, as a black man, black boy, you might have got called a gollywog. Some of the Asian kids were called, you know, I'm going to use a word I don't use often, might have been called a packy. People talked about going to the chinky, you know. I remember going to my friend's house and his dad would say to me, Simon, get on the old blackies, will you? Get me some milk in front of me. He was cool with me. Absolutely cool. I think his daughter went out with a black guy. But this is the 70s. You know, Love My Neighbor was on. You know, it's all this kind of madness. I got to middle school, which is the second tier, and Roots was on. Roots came at the tail end of my middle school. And Roots was a moment for people to learn about slavery and... Yeah, and it's a hard watch sometimes. And it's a little bit dated, but I thought at the time it was groundbreaking, but looking back, all it did was allow people to basically just take the piss. Sorry to swear, but that's exactly what happened, you know. So I kind of look at what happened on yesterday's news, and I saw the thing about the cenotaph and the BLM sprayed on it. Yeah, you know, as a 53-year-old black man, Englishman, black Englishman, I was a little outraged because I'm like, guys, you know what? You've just ruined the whole point of a protest to a certain degree, because people aren't going to focus on the peaceful. They're going to focus on what you've just done to something that's quite cherished in this country. But the other side of me thinks, as an angry 22-year-old guy, black or white, if I wanted to be heard, where do I go aside from, you know, Westminster? Where do I go to really get seen? So they go there. And they do something a little stupid, actually very stupid, and offends most of the nation. And any, for those people, those Caucasian people who were kind of unsure what to think or feel, they just saw that as an attack on English values. And kind of, and I'm going to be mindful here, so people don't be going crazy, it's just an opinion, but kind of on their white English values. But you've got to look at it for what it is. It was a group of angry youths who kind of overstepped the mark. The rest of the marches were actually very peaceful. So they weren't even 0.08% of the whole of the marches around the country. We've gone to these marches because of stuff that's happened in America. I don't want to discuss George Floyd because I don't know the legal case. I know what I saw in that video and it was pretty disgusting. But for me, in regard to the protests, there's been other killings and murders before in this country. With the Ahmaud Arbery one in America is a young man being shot while he's jogging by a neighborhood watch team who are backed by the local police. Yeah, that was the one that people should be really protesting about. For me, that was the one. But we were still in mid-lockdown. We were still kind of at home being told, you know, do what to do, do what you do, don't go out, queue up at the shopping, you know, don't get too close to people. We were still kind of in our groove. The last 2 weeks, things have changed. So we've got the George Floyd video. It sparks this campaign that people feel that now says black people aren't being treated equally. People respond by saying all lives matter. I kind of don't want to get into that too much because I think the actual issue of if you do believe in that, then you would understand why black lives matter or anybody's life matter if they that section of the community, society, feels that it's being held back. So I kind of look at the cenotaph thing and I thought if I was a young man now and I wanted to get and I really wanted to say something, I would not have defaced that cenotaph. I'd have got all my crew all the way around it. I'd have dressed us in black. I'd have had my banners. I'd have had my slogans. We'd have said them in unity. And I'd have stood there and we'd have got people swapping of us. You take my place. Right, I need 10 minutes away from here. You come here. You do that, that would have sent a bigger signal around the country that it's a peaceful protest that needs to be heard. Instead, but let's take the 0.08 out and look at all the other people who've gone to South Park in Oxford or just around the country to basically say, look, you know what? My boyfriend's black. My friends are black. And I kind of see what's happened to them. I kind of see that actually we've got to a stage which we never thought would happen in this lifetime, but has probably fueled because of the easing of a lockdown and people feeling a little bit frustrated. Dominic Cummings, let's not get into the politics of it here, but we have to address the fact that the man who basically helped put the slogans together, stay at home, save the NHS, whatsoever, basically did as he liked. Let's not get into the autistic kid and all the other stuff. He still broke a rule while people were told not to go to their own family's funerals. So the nation is kind of like, what's going on here? Some people agreed with him, some people didn't. Then all of a sudden, Bank Holiday arrived and everybody's
people
on the beach.
On the beach. Yay! And in the park.
Yeah, but yeah, it goes wild. And then the George Floyd thing, as I said, comes in around about the same time. And the world kind of goes crazy. But for me, as in regard to the protests, I kind of see the stuff on Facebook and see the anger and people getting really upset. And I'm like, the thing is, you don't like this protest. You just want a protest that fits in for you. So let's all talk about Guy Fawkes. That's how you protest, yeah? You blow up something. Now, if somebody did that, there would be uproar. But this was generally a peaceful protest, okay? Now, racism won't go away. We're still going to go look at that ginger. You know, we're still going to go look at that kid over there. It's kind of part of our genetics. It's when you've thrown a, within the language of offending somebody, or there's offending somebody or having, you can have a laugh. You know, oh, you fat bastard. You know, that kind of thing. It's going to happen. But I think the American, and we've always followed America. UK's always followed America in various ways. You know, most of our stars, our heroes and our people, celebrities are American. The shows we love the most are American. The Last Dance. The Last Dance is what we just raved about it. We just chatted about Dave. Everything we love is America. We love their ice cream. We love their pizzas. We love their trainers. So we were undoubtedly going to get kind of caught up in what they were getting into. The looting, all that kind of stuff, well, I don't agree with that. But that's opportunists for you. But ultimately, we are a reflection of what's happening over there. But the protests have no voice. And I haven't got involved with the protests simply because, to me, yes, people are saying how they feel, but there's nobody leading from up front.
Can I just interject? That's where it's going to bother. Because I feel that this whole subject's one to speak about, and how you've kind of just put it out there and just explained it is very PC, which is cool. But I feel this is the subject what really, really, really needs to be spoken about. So, no.
Trust me, I'm finished.
That's what I'm saying. Either we do or we don't. We don't play around the houses with it. But
yeah.
You speaking on the protest, so I just want to interject in that part. For me, I feel from what I've seen, and don't get me wrong, some people are there because they want to get their point across, or they feel that they have to support. Like you said, there might be people with somebody like myself with a white partner or whatever the case is, who want to go there. They want to understand. Yeah. They kind of want to do things to kind of educate themselves. But me, I was speaking to one of my friends yesterday, and he asked me if I was going to a protest. And I was like, no. I was like, if there's no one there leading or kind of teaching me something I don't know, or saying, well, listen, this is the angle, or yes, this is the direction that we're going to take to have our voice heard, I said, let me just stay in my house and just educate myself some more. Do you know what I mean? For me, that's...
Yeah.
I know, I'm going to just say it. So you take it however it comes, however it hits you. For me, the protests are cool to a degree, but I feel that anybody who goes to this protest who's not really on job, you're going there for your own kind of like, oh, I'm just going just to say that I'm not a racist, or that I am part of the cause, or I do want to hold up a sign and wear a mask because I'm just doing it for my social. There's loads of fakery in regards of certain protests going around. Like, even though you're seeing the videos and the photos of protests, you're still seeing the videos and the photos of influencers and just people just begging it and just being inner and extra,
yeah,
just to be a part of the cause. And I had to even check myself. I know you're probably going to bring this up to you, but I need to put it out here now. I had to check myself a couple of days ago because the Black Lives Matter thing, great, like totally, totally for it. But I think it's got to a point now where you have to really check it. Now, with the Black Lives Matter, it's almost like, okay, that's like saying, okay, cool, remember, don't forget about us. We do matter as well. So, and another friend of mine, he put it to me this way. He was like, oh, meaning that we matter means in, we're the boy in the corner, but we're facing the wall. So we're saying, oh, we're mattering. That means we're just not facing the wall now. We're in the corner, but yeah, we're not facing the wall. So what happened is, and I got this for a few videos, and I saw it from you as well, T, when you was hashtagging equality. And I was like,
no, thank you.
Because my whole thing is, we're fighting, or some people are fighting, or people are raising their voice and wanting to be heard because of Black Lives Mattering, where really they should be like, we want equality. We want to be treated the same as you. We want the same opportunities as you. We want this. We want that. We want to be, you can't look down your nose at us. Who do you think you are? There's nothing in there who says you can do this or be this or whatever the case is. You can't.
You have basically brought me to exactly the point I want to be at. So
sorry,
thank you
that
very much. Oh, mate. No, that's brilliant. No, what you've done is brilliant, because the thing is, people need to understand what these marches are about. Regardless whether they want to be involved or not, they need to understand why they're here. Mostly, obviously the inspiration is the George Floyd, but generally this has been building for years. We look at the great things that have happened because of protest, and you know, Martin Luther King. People talk about Malcolm X in a really bad way. People need to know the history of Malcolm X. Malcolm X was anti-white. He said, no, but white people were going to do this, and white people. He then went to Mecca, because he's a Muslim, and he saw white Muslims praying. He saw Chinese Muslims. He came back to America. He turned on the Nation of Islam, and he said, I don't believe in what you're preaching anymore, because I've seen various shades practicing my religion. From that moment on, he had a tiger on his back. Because he wanted to change, he saw what equality meant across the board. So people need to do proper history on Malcolm X and people like him. So that's history. I'm looking at modern day stuff. So I'm going to give you a brief history on why these protests mean something to me as a 53-year-old black man. I'm going to bring some little points up. The issues I've had in my life, I could go on and on, but I'm going to use things that people listening will kind of recognize. I'll talk about the Brits. The Brits, 1989-90. This was a year of Soul to Soul. Soul to Soul had gone to America. They'd done Keep on Moving. They had taken sand to the Sahara and sold it. They had done it. They had gone to America and bought UK R&B and soul. And they were smashing it. That Japanese kid who had done the music, the beat for them, which always gets nicked, he put that beat down. Nelly Hooper produced it. Jazzy added the Soul to Soul influence. That tune was massive all around the world. It's still massive now. And you know, Karen Wheeler, what a singer. Amazing. So who got the female singer that year? Lisa Stansfield, been around the world. Listen to that beat. Listen to the arrangement. Everything ripped off Soul to Soul. I sat there. And that's when I realized, and what's something I'd always known for ages, the Brits had a slight bias. Craig David had basically, X amount of years later, was up for 8 nominations. Basically, he was going to sweep the board. His album had sold loads. For some reason, Robbie took them all. He was barely within the catchment that year. He hadn't sold the numbers. But they were both on EMI. Robbie got the nod because EMI tells the Brits what to do, you could say. I'm not saying they did, but that's how it kind of looked. So again, I'm thinking, what's happening here? You look at modern day music now. I am not knocking good singers. Adele is a wonderful singer. I know about my digs at her, but she's a wonderful singer, okay? Record companies now would prefer to have kind of Caucasian dudes who've got a soul-like voice and sing that blue-eyed soul, rather than get a black singer who's singing great stuff. Sam Henshaw is a wonderful, you ever get a chance to hear Church by Sam Henshaw, it's H-E-N-S-H-A-W. Sam Henshaw should be massive, no doubt. Much better though for them to get some other kid with a lumberjack shirt who sounds a bit like Rag and Bone Man whatsoever. Have this discussion before, but that's, the industry is odd. There was a time when black music artists, especially in the 70s and 80s, were, you know, they were praised. And then you had in America, there was this radio DJ who basically said, let's burn all disco records. Let's get rock back on the agenda. And they didn't just burn all the disco records. They started burning Marvin Gaye and Stevie Wonder in the middle of an American football pitch. And that's when you realized, oh my God, it was a race issue. It wasn't about disco. It got further. But that's just an interject, okay? So I look at things like, Stephen Lawrence. When Stephen Lawrence was murdered. We now know that. Okay. And those five lads they just hid behind the legalities. And it wasn't until they have a civil case that they suddenly were found guilty. At the time, the police put out the story that Stephen Lawrence was a drug dealer. We now know through the civil case that two of the policemen involved in that case had basically business dealings with one of the killer's fathers. Unbelievably, and this is an amazing moment in race in this country, the Daily Mail, always known as a right-wing paper, on a Saturday morning released a copy of their paper with the five lads on the cover and called them murderers. The civil case hadn't quite happened. And they said, if you want to sue us, then you're going to have to go to court and explain where you were that night. And the whole nation who saw this were like, oh my God, the Daily Mail, they've suddenly gone liberal. What's going on? And it was amazing. It was amazing. Paul Dacquer had gone and done this amazing thing. I remember the black guy, I was like, oh my God, it was a Saturday morning, I was working overtime. I was like, he's done this. Until I got the backstory. Paul Dacquer was going to run a story on Stephen Lawrence and his family to make them look bad, very bad. It was only when he found out that Neville Lawrence had decorated his house and he was actually a really good bloke that he suddenly went, oh my God, Neville, yeah, and spun the story into the wonderful story we saw. Race gets played in this country and it gets played across all colours. I've seen racism. I booked a very well-known black female comedian in Oxford. I was with my sidekick, who was a white guy. I wasn't in the room. There was some issue. I don't know what it was. She turned around to him and called him a white whatever. I was then told by somebody else. In that room were two other well-known comedians. They looked at me. They were both black. And they knew something had to be said. I told her, if she was going to continue to be racist, then she wasn't getting a fee off me and she could leave immediately. Very simple. I'm not having racism under my tutelage, especially as I'm the guy that night. Racism in this country has been slowly kind of swept away. I've seen it in so many different ways. I've been to clubs where like certain DJs are playing, but they're not letting black faces in. I saw house music stolen from, they call it the summer of love in 88. It was not 88, it was 85, man. But people don't know that because they hear this story about Paul Oakenfold went to IB for a Pete Tong. Absolute lies and rubbish. Ask Kid Bachelor, ask Carl Cox, ask them boys. But instead, Carl Cox got knocked out of the history of Shoom and Jenny Ramplin and Danny Ramplin took his credit. Now, I'm going to sound angry about that because it still drives me mad now. Racism in this country will always happen. It's happening in schools. It's simply because we do not educate ourselves. And the reason these protests are happening are because it's time now for people to hear that actually we can't be sleeping on this. Racism will never stop. I am not asking for racism to stop. It can't stop. It's in human nature to basically try, and sometimes people will just do and say things. But the anger I'm seeing on Facebook, the anger I'm seeing from people writing stuff, you know, all of, they're like looking for excuses to fit their agenda because they don't want to look at why these protests are happening. And because they're not being headed, as Specs has said, it gives them, these people a chance to kind of swat them away. Dominic Cummings is sat there right now. He is loving this. Nigel Farage is loving this because they are cleverer. They know how to turn a situation. They've got connections with newspapers. They can turn this protest into something really dark if the right people don't head this up or it doesn't calm down a little now. And it will miss on, the point is, the problem is, it will miss on doing so much positive stuff in this country. You know, my children, they faced it, you know, and they're mixed colour. They shouldn't have to face that anymore. Racism should kind of be stopping, you know. And for people to be hiding behind stuff now and getting angry about stuff, what we need is a proper discussion from the people up top. We need something from our politicians. Instead, we still have people thinking that Jesus was a white dude when the Bible describes him as white.
It gets my nerves, mate.
He's described as olive-skinned, you know. It's just such a shame because, for example, my man on this podcast with me, Mr. Nathan Swift, you know, I know Nathan is not a guy who looks at race. He just thinks, are you an arsehole or not? That's it.
You know what? I've been sat here because I'm going to be honest with you. I was pensive about where the discussion was going to go tonight. And I've been sat here saying nothing because I just... Because you guys have to talk about this, but then I've also got something to say on it as well, obviously. Yeah. But you've literally just taken away my second statement. Not my first statement, my second statement. So, I mean, I can do it now. My question to you then, as the white guy on this panel, is at any point in the time that you've known me, have I given you any indication or any form of treatment that would point towards the fact that I'm racist?
No, you haven't.
No,
not once.
No, leave it there. Leave it there.
Okay. Yep.
So over the last week, I've had to question myself because I've looked at my answers to questions, and then I've looked at whether those answers to the questions are the right answers to the questions. And am I? Now, I'm not. I don't for 1 minute believe I'm racist. My brother-in-law is black.
That's something a racist would say. Stop right now,
mixed race.
No, that's, no, literally.
Exactly that. It is exact, and that's what I mean. When you make these statements and you go,
well, what? Yeah, but
no, do you know
my
brother-in-law's just...
But here's my thing. Why do you make that statement? I'm not racist. My brother-in-law is black. Why do you make that statement?
Exactly that. But here's my point. So, and that's the point I was making. So when you make that statement, I'm then going, why am I making that statement? Because does that then make me a racist? Let me explain my life. And Tony's just nailed it for me. In my world, you fall into two categories. You're either a dick or you're not a dick.
You're not. No,
or you could be like me, which is mid dick.
We know this, Swifty. Don't get it twisted. But
the thing I've got, and this is why I was, you know, pensive about discussing it, because I'm appalled by everything. I'm appalled by what I see. I'm appalled by what I hear. I'm appalled by how you feel. And the worst part is sitting there thinking, what can I do? You know, what can I
jump in real quick? So
yeah, go.
For me, this is me. Like, so I post a lot of stuff on social media, and when I do, and I get insight, and I've been getting a lot of insight and a lot of response, like, from people. And I use that now because I've got these people now watching things that I post, whether it's informative or if it's just statements or whatever the case is, these people will come to me and be like, you know what? They will question myself like you may have a few times, Nathan, right, during this whole thing. And the reason why they have, and it's weird because the reason why people like yourself will question is for this reason. Growing up, you wasn't told to see color. So because of that, you've just seen the people like your mates, people that you've just liaised with throughout life, you've just seen them as for them. Like Tony said, like you said, if they're a dick, they're a dick. If they're not, they're not. Right? So now when it comes to this, you're like, rah, now I have to question myself because I've never thought like that before. And because you haven't fought like that before,
no,
it doesn't mean that you're a racist. It just means, rah, I've not had to take that into consideration because I didn't think, obviously I knew racism was about, but I didn't know it was either that petty or there's these issues. Like, I put something up the other day and it was like, you know, was it being black is like when you know that you're going on holiday and you have to check the internet to see how racist the country is.
Oh.
Like you're checking the weather or something like that.
Right, Croatia. China.
And I laughed to myself. And then I had to check myself and said, this is true. Every time me and my family's been on holiday, yeah, even when I had to take my kids away, that's what we've done. And when I put that up, do you know how many people are like, oh my word, when I book holidays with my missus or when I book holidays for my with my boyfriend, they tell me to do this. And I thought it was just some kind of joke.
No. Do you know what? That's fantastic, you know, by the way, and that's so true as well. I won't even go to China. I will not go to China. Anybody is offended by that, ask, do some research on how Chinese, a lot of big cities in China treat black people.
Have you seen that clip when there's a guy who scares a Chinese woman with her Iron Man mask on? He takes the mask off in blackface and then she jumps at that. She don't jump at the Iron Man mask. He takes the mask off and she jumps at the blackface.
Wow, jeez. Well, you know, I know a lot of my friends have actually asked me to say something, you know, for the pod this week. And I kind of feel, do you know, for people I feel sorry for now, people who just don't see this, they just get on with their day. They like people, they don't like them. Simple as that. They kind of understand what a protest is, but they're scared of the angry stuff they're seeing on the media. So they're kind of like just skipping around at the moment and hoping to settle down.
No, you're wrong, man. You're wrong. But, you're, no, Go no, on. I'm sorry, man. I told you this was going to happen, didn't I? I told you I was going to act like this, so...
No. The only reason I'm saying that is just some of the people I know, I've seen some stuff today. There are other people who just basically just are just so confused they're just being angry and they feel that they've got to stamp some mark on it.
Do you know what? It's how I feel. Yeah, it's how I feel. But I just feel that anybody who's going to speak on this on a platform, they do right to, like, address the issue. But do they really address the issue? And again, this is another thing, like, everyone's scared to say something. Everyone's scared to really kind of like be passionate with it. And again, yeah. You've done the right thing, T. And you was talking the things and you was talking cold, hard facts. And you'll be stupid for anybody to argue with the facts. Great. But my whole thing is, if we're speaking about it, I'm trying to hear your opinion. I'm trying to hear Nathan's opinion. So for me, again, I've kind of said a brief part of what I believe, especially when it comes to the protest. And I agree with you with the equal rights. That's what we're looking for. We're basically looking to kind of be classed the same throughout, you know?
Yeah. Jane Elliott really nails it with this human race line. Because we have to, we're living in a society full of subsections. Okay. So we've got this thing about being non-binary now and stuff like that. I'll put my hands in the air. I do not know what that means. I get really confused over that. I just about handled the trans issue. And I'll be honest about that. I'm not against trans guys. I just, the whole change in law and stuff, you know, I kind of, okay, somebody needs to educate me. And that's the difference. I want to know, because it was happening in front of me. If you've been raised doing, you know, through school, not knowing about Black history and stuff, and then all of a sudden you see every year is a Black History Month. As much as I love Black History Month, I also think, you know what? Does it just have to be a month? Can't we just feed it into the agenda all the time? Little bits and bobs here and there.
Yeah, but can't we just preach this all year round? Can't we just can't we just live this all year round? And then again, what will happen is this is what happens. Everybody moans about it's only 1 month. So do more. Do more.
No, I totally agree.
Whatever it takes, whatever platform it has to be. You mean how many doors do you have to kick down? Like, it's almost like we only make up noise when it's convenient or when we feel that we've gone a bit quiet, when it should be all the time. Not saying that it has to be, it don't have to be no protests, it don't have to be no violence, it don't have to be no riots. It don't need to be that. It just needs the right people or anybody who wants to be like ignorant to listen. Swallow your pride, stop cutting off your nose to spite your face, and listen to what a next man's saying.
Well, you know what? And that leads to the NFL thing, where the guy is behind.
Oh, my word. But this is what I'm saying. Any big corporation who is moving mad in regards to this is some racist crap. I don't care. Is that what it is? Now, because of what's going on at the moment and how the world is, and just this moment now, everyone's turning around and apologizing. Sorry, an apology, don't cut it. Too many people, so many times, are apologizing for nonsense that they shouldn't be doing in the first place. And we'll be the fools to accept it just to lie down and freaking take it. No,
those guys were willing to sit there. I'm not going to go into attacking Trump because this is not the podcast to be getting into that big and that matter. We could be here way too long. But the POTUS was allowed to say about Kaepernick's kneeling, he was a son of a bitch. And those team owners, they basically boycotted him. And three years out of his career, now they're like, well, you know what? Maybe we should have. And it's like, mate, that's just pretty disgusting. And this is kind of like, I kind of...
Hear what I'm saying. I don't want to go so further upfield. I don't want to label this on things that's in the tabloids. I don't really want to touch on it like from the celebrity basis or anything like that. Yeah. I want to put it down to kind of like people that you can, like people that are out there, things that I've witnessed. And the reason why everything's just blown up so quick is because we're in our house doing nothing because we're supposed to be on this isolation, quarantine, lockdown business.
I am loving what I've seen on Facebook, and I don't know if you've seen this, Nathan. It's made me laugh. So I was going through this thing where obviously I remove people off my Facebook. Again, not because I want it to be a cozy world. I just don't want these people who always just bring nothing but anger and hate. And I have been one of those guys. I'm not going to deny that. I have been one of those guys who's gone, you know what? I'm going to put a thorn in the side. It's very boring after a while.
In all fairness, you do it for your own entertainment just to get a rise out of people because you've got nothing better to do with your time.
That's true.
Look, you know, I've got nothing against Liverpool fans and Oasis fans.
I don't ever look at anything that you put and take it to the point of seriousness where I go, do you know what? He's out of order. Blah, 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 blah.
No, he's had his moments. Even on social media, he's had his moments. He's definitely had his moments.
So I'm seeing all this stuff being written and obviously people kind of now hanging on to certain aspects of the protests because they don't want to have a conversation. They don't want to ask why the protests are happening. They just look at the points that anger them and go, you know what? I kind of felt sorry for that poor George Floyd. But now look what they're doing. But why are these things happening? I know there's no leadership for the protests, but why are they happening? And that's my kind of issue with people who are getting angry on social media. Most of my friends, black and white, who are struggling with what to say, it's about, for me, it's whether they just, as long as they respect me and respect what I've got to say, and if they don't know what to say, they ask the questions, I'm cool with that. I ain't got a problem with that. Exactly. I don't think silence is complicit. There's a lot of black people on social media who don't know what to say, and they don't know where to go, and they don't want to say the wrong thing.
Right. So here's my thing, right? If you're a black person, yeah, and you've experienced racism, colorism, or anything across the board from growing up to whatever age you are now, yeah, how can you say the wrong thing?
True.
Right? So, and this is what I'm saying, like, I'm not warm about this. I'm very hot and cold about it. Sorry, that's what I was supposed to say. And with me, like, there's no middle ground. Like, you put what it is. And my whole thing is, people can read it and take it however they want. I've had so many people get back in touch with me and be like, you know what? I never knew. I never thought of it this way. I've put and to back anything that I've put up or anything that anybody's seen might be offensive. I don't really care if they found it offensive after their business. But anything that I've put up on there, I've then said, do your research. And there was some screenshots that I took, and it said to educate yourself. These are the things that you can find to kind of delve into. Why this is going on, why it's open, or why this whole George Floyd thing opened up this can. And it broke down into documentaries, films, books, even episodes and books for children that you can read just to educate themselves on black history or slavery and all these things as well. So all the tools are out there, and it's the same way. And I say to people, this is the same way that your research when Next is having a sale, or your next makeup's gonna get a exclusive release, or the same way that I'll break my neck to get trainers. All that information is out there, and you've just not looked, either because you don't know what you're looking for. Cool, ask the question, or you just don't want to look. It's literally that simple. I've posted books, I've posted documentaries, I've said to people, I've even educated myself personally further in this situation. And don't get it twisted, I'm not oblivious to what's going on. And in a black household, you are raised by your parents to be aware of these things, or you are taught. And this is a massive one, and it resonates with everybody in a black household. Is like, you have to work doubly as hard to get just to get your foot through the door.
True.
Just to get your foot through the door. And imagine that. So when we're passionate, when it seems that we're deemed the angry black guy, do you mean? We've got so much to say, or we're the loudest man in the room. We're doing it because we need to be heard, not because we've got a chip on our shoulder, not because we've got an attitude, not this. What do you mean I've got to break my neck every time I've got to do something? Yeah? Even if it's this DJ thing, I've got to be in my house, and I've got to practice. I've got to do my 10,000 hours to perfect your craft or whatever it is. If it's me going out in corporate world, I've got to make sure in the last job or my previous jobs that I have been smashing whatever I've got to do. I got this award, that award, and whatever. So when I put it on there, boom. And you want to hear the joke? Half the opportunities I've got is because on my CVs, they see a white name. Don't get it twisted. My name is not the blackest in the market. When I'm walking, I've seen there.
That's a banger.
You know that first initial gasp when you're surprised at something. You think I haven't got that when I've sat in the room waiting for them to come in. Oh, Agent Prescott.
Yeah, mate.
Do you know what I'm saying? And it's deeper than this, but this is just woke. This has woke a lot of black people up.
Do you know what? To counter that, I look at the arguments for, again, going to those people writing some absolute trash on Facebook and social media. Most of these people I've seen are football hooligans back in the day.
Oh, come on. They were
either certain fans of Oxford or whosoever. There was a certain name. I'm talking about Oxford guys now, yeah? There's a certain name they had for their group, and I'm not going to name them because I'm not going to give them any glory, okay? These guys are on Facebook basically saying, looters, this, that. They're not looking at the peaceful process. They're just looking at the guys who actually have overstepped the mark. These same people typing the stuff are the people who went on Saturday afternoons, home matches, and away, and they smashed pubs up. They attacked coppers. They beat up innocent people who got caught in the way. People got hurt. And here they are, seemingly forgetting what they did back then.
People
and
continue to do
now. I remember when Millwall came to Oxford a couple of years back, maybe a bit longer.
Yeah, there was police galore.
That's always a lot of fun.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. and I was, at the time, organising a certain event on the Cowley Road, and I had to sort it out with a venue I was doing it with. And the person I was doing it with was meant to show up for a meeting. Didn't show up for a meeting. Why? Because they thought it'd be a much better thing to do the night before, getting arrested, fighting Millwall. So there I was, getting things sorted for something we did. It was quite important, and they were too concerned. That same person is writing stuff on Facebook about the protests in a way that indicates that he is basically a priest. And that's the kind of thing that kind of annoys me. Also, that annoys me...
But this is what I'm saying. I know you're speaking about this and whatever. I know exactly what direction you're going down. But my whole thing is this is what I'm saying. I just generally believe that the looting, the rioting and the protest is not... To me, that's not the important thing. It's nonsense that it's happening when it's getting to the extent it is. But that's not the important thing here.
It's the education.
It is the education. And
mate, it's disturbing times. For me... It's just been heartbreaking, I kind of proved something I knew all along. So I'm going to use a couple of examples, okay? Madness and Ska fans. They love a bit of Madness. They love a bit of Ska. Love getting down. Got the old Harrington jacket on, giving it something out, doing all the funny dances. I've walked in a room. They've looked at me as though I basically sat in the middle of a dance floor.
Wow.
Oh my God, there's a black geezer in here. They're dancing to Madness. Basically Ska, you know, West Indian music, but they want the culture, but they don't want the element that made the culture.
But here's another thing. Let me throw a next one at you. Sorry, T, I know you got facts, but let me throw another one at you. Good friend of mine, this whole scenario, yeah? And he's active on social. Active! This pops up. And don't get me wrong, I don't expect him to be like, okay, cool, because my mates are black, I didn't expect him to kind of post the most and do the most out there. But check in. Come check in on man and say, yo, like, are you man all right? Like, and just have a conversation. And anything that you didn't know or any question that you feel that you couldn't ask or put out in the atmosphere, ask us. That's what we're there for. And I had to reach out to him. And I was like, dude, I don't like the way that you just shied away. Because I said, anything else, when it's politics... When it's religion, if it's anything like that, you will talk up the things, you'll share this, that, and whatever. But I said, now suddenly you want to go quiet. And I said, you work, live, sleep, eat, breathe this culture, this community, but yet you're going quiet. So I know you said earlier on, when you're quiet, it doesn't mean that you care less or whatever the case is. But when you're quiet, it's suspicious as hell. It's suspicious as hell.
I think that's a slightly different. Yeah, you're right. That scenario is different. If that person's embroiled in deep in the culture, then they should be basically appraising that culture alongside this, not just going, you know what, I'll skip it this week.
Or even educate themselves. You know,
educate yourself
and say, you know, I bought this book. I watched this documentary. I didn't even know.
Do you remember the uproar we had when all the black players got all that grief against, was it Hungary?
Yeah,
the English black players. But the nation was allegedly up in arms. Now...
Because it was England, that's why.
Yeah, exactly. You know? So England as a united front with mixed colour players on the pitch is important. England in disarray because people want to get their voices heard. Oh, I ain't having that. You just destroyed something. You just maybe done some looting. Come on, man.
Bro, it's a having your cake... It's having your cake and eating it situation, isn't it? It's when everyone's like, you get them man who say, I'm not racist. And then when they're at the pub, they'll be like, packy this, nig nog that.
Oh, mate, don't.
But when they're finishing a pub, where they go in after food, they're either going to kebab shop, Turkish man, or they go for a curry, Asian man. get me? Friday night, where are they? If it's not the Chippy, they're at the Chinky. But yeah, they're in there talking the wickedest chat. And then when and then they're football hooligan, man. Throwing bananas, dope. Monkey noises, all of that. What city do you, sorry, what team do you support, man? The one with bare black man in.
Yeah.
Because the black man are repping their team, oh, their man ain't nignogs, their man ain't banana frigging money. Yeah. Their man ain't doing that. Bro, no. What? What is your life like?
Jed, that was my 70s and 80s, 90s to a certain degree. You know, you made a point earlier about our DJing. You know, I been doing promotions for ages. I remember certain clubs and venues where they were like, yeah, but you'll just put loads of black people in here. I'm like, what? I'm just going to bring people in. I didn't really think there was kind of some kind of colour restriction, you know. But then you do the night and it's a lovely, wonderful crowd, mixed crowd.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh my God, it's amazing. And I'm like, I said to you at first meeting, we will fall out within five of me doing these events, because once you see the money that's coming in, you're going to try and hijack this night.
Right. So let me jump in now. With the DJ thing, do not even get me started on it. But it's one of those ones.
I'm loving this energy.
Firstly, when it comes to promotions, even when you was leading the Ship Tea, I swear there was one event that we was doing and you had that same conversation.
Yep.
And even going to when I'm doing stuff, I've had the same thing. Oh, you're gonna bring in the wrong crowd. So it's like, I put something up on my Instagram the other day, racism in the club, in the club industry. And he was saying, oh, we've all been there. This is a white DJ. He said, we've all been there when you go to a club or you're playing at a night or you just got a new residency and you get that initial, I put in inverted commas, brief or talk about how they want the night to go or what the previous DJ did, who don't work there no more because he's rubbish. What? Anyway, he was saying, that you'll get the brief where the manager would be, make it less urban, don't play anything what's going to attract trouble or bring the wrong crowd. He put that up and I was like, my head blew because I didn't even think of it, right? And then I shared it and I was like, even as a black DJ, I still get that. Man have briefed me in front of my black face and said, try not to make it too urban tonight, mate. We don't want no trouble in here or anything like that. We haven't had none before. But I've forgotten it. Like, you got bouncers in there just for the look, right? Not to do their job. But anyway.
Yeah.
So I also continued to put, I was like, I said, I'm a different kind of guy. So if a man would say that to me, I'm the guy, I'll walk away from that. I don't care how much money I get. Like, from when you're talking that, I'm no monkey to dance to your organ grinding. I'm not doing that. So I said, I know man, black guys and guys who rep the culture who will get that same brief and laugh and joke and go, yeah, don't worry, leave it with me. Sell off their soul middle. And then go in there every week and play something that they won't enjoy to secure the bag. I think the get out of jail free card quote at the moment, especially with these R&B hip hop dancehall guys who want to kind of just have more consistent work, they'd be like, I'm just doing it to secure the bag. I'm not taking it. When I put that out, I called man out. When I put that pace up, I called man out. DJs who I know who done it went quiet. I'm sick of it.
You know what? I'm not going to tell the story of something that happened in Bournemouth. Very much like that. I had the last laugh. It was hilarious. It was brilliant. I felt so good driving back with my money in my pocket. It was going to be the last night there. I went back a year later. The club was closed down. You won't believe it.
I remember you telling me this. So I know exactly where you're
doorman. I literally walked past. I was with my wife. I was like, oh my God, it really did close down. And I bumped into one of the doormen literally 2 minutes later. And he's like, mate, the night you walked out of that place was the night that place pretty much died. They took it in a completely new direction, and it just died. But you know what? The main thing is, we've had our say about the protests. We've had our say of what we think about racism in this country. We can't change anything from this podcast. Nathan, can you just say one final thing for this? Because I think we've spoken a lot.
Yeah,
I'd really like to hear your view.
No, don't listen. Don't. No need to apologise ever with me for anything. Talk.
What, even if I nick your beer?
Well, I'll just be holding yours. That's what I'm here for. One thing I do want to say, and
go on.
The media reflection of this is once again they're highlighting the bad element, and that really small element.
Yes,
and it does raise the question, and I haven't read enough on this, and my wife's the proper ad. She's the one that keeps sowing the seeds on it. But this whole divide and conquer thing.
Yeah, totally what I think. Division.
Now, if it's just been the weirdness. I saw a brilliant GIF the other day, which had you had COVID-19 and Black Lives Matter stood next to each other having a chat, and then Madeleine McCann walks up.
Oh and my! Oh,
I love
just
that.
When you think that 2020 couldn't get any weirder, and you've got why? Why now? Why,
yeah, why exactly what I was saying myself last week.
Now, why is it? What else is going on that we're not paying any attention to because of all this other stuff that's happening? And I don't
Hillary
know
Clinton.
About it, and I haven't read into it, and I'm not really a conspiracy theory kind of guy. I don't dismiss it, but I guess I just live in my bubble, don't I? Which is probably the wrong way to live my life, but it's the way in which I get through it. But
nah, you know what? That was so good, Nathan. So I was thinking exactly the same last week. You asked Suzanne, I'm the king of conspiracy. Poor old Lee Rigby was brought into it as well. All this
oh,
stuff,
my word,
you know.
Yes, he was, yeah.
Let's not go there because I've got a million things there.
But
a lot of people will get very angry.
Let's not detract away from the point of what we've been talking about in quite deep sense over the last hour or so. But the simple fact is that equality is what matters, and that's
yes,
what we should 100%. All be striving for. End off.
Yeah, totally agree.
Listen.
And on that note...
No, wait.
Hi. What do you mean?
No, wait, 1 second.
Oh, here we go.
I had another video that I watched 2 days ago.
Oh.
And
not one of them funny videos, was it?
No. This woman made a massive speech on the news comparing... It was decent. It's going to sound bizarre, but it was decent. Comparing slavery to Monopoly, right?
What?
No, this is what I'm saying. It sounds left, but it was decent. But then she ended it on saying, you're lucky that we're asking for equality and not revenge.
Oh, mate, that's a great shout.
Do you know what I'm saying? When she said that, yeah. I thought my brain was going to blow up my skull, mate.
That's a great shout. Oh, man, I'm fine. I have to show me that video, okay? So look, as I said, we're not trying to save the world. We're going to have a discussion. We hope people will listen to this, not make judgment on us, but just have conversations themselves. Look at what's happening on your social media. You don't have to question your friends and poke them, but just wonder, you know, are they actually all right? Are they actually struggling with coming out of lockdown? The pubs are going to be open soon. They're saying now pub gardens will be open in a couple of weeks' time. My predictions are all coming true about timings. I'm not boasting, just saying.
You're like one of those, what do they call them? They're like a sage. You're a sage. You can see into the future.
I can't get my lottery numbers, though.
Yeah.
But a barber's opening soon, yes. But no, you know, I'm just wondering, like you said, if it's a timing that's driving everybody a little bit mad. Because had we all been going back to work,
if we
would a lot of
work,
these protests
yeah,
been of a number?
It wouldn't be this strong, 100%.
Yeah.
I said this to someone.
Yeah, you know. Yeah,
there's,
you know, and so... Yeah.
There's a lot of pent-up anger. There's a lot of pent-up frustration. I think people have been... They've had enough now. They've got to the point... I mean, some of this stuff they've brought in now makes no sense to me at whatsoever.
Yeah.
They're introducing face masks in the hospital next week. So I can only assume that COVID-19 is not going to be contagious for the next 7 days and will probably kick in next Monday.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? It's just mad, you know. Thanks, Dominic. You did us all a big favour. But finally... This is what we've got to. It's the big question. It's the big, my middle name is Trevor question. It's very simple. You've got a choice. Do you go for a basic chocolate magnum vanilla ice cream, or do you choose the 99 with a flake? Which are you going for?
99 with a flake.
Oh, okay.
A magnum.
Come on.
Because, because if I had a 99 with a flake, my bottom would be leaking for 48 hours.
Oh no, come on. You're nasty. And on that note,
Tony, hang on.
Mate,
we've got one vote
mate,
each. You've got the decider.
Mate, you know okay,
he never answers these, does he?
No.
Okay, I'm gonna go. I should say a magnum, but you know when that ice cream van comes around the corner, man. 99 with a flake is the one. That's the one. That's me. Well, that was that. We'll be back soon, probably next week. Whatever you do, wherever you listen to this, give us a follow, subscribe, and we'll catch up soon. Thanks a lot.